It's Ari Rosenbaum with another fun-filled episode of that 401k podcast. This week we're going to talk about the Cycle 3 restatement process. So much fun for plan sponsors, TPAs, advisors, but most importantly to ERISA attorneys like me. We love restatement processes for a variety of reasons. But first things first, our big event, January 21-22, that 401k National Virtual Conference, live on Zoom. A whole bunch of guests, Retireholics, Walt Clyde Frazier, Dwight Doc Gooden, whole host of great presentations, 2 days, everything you wanted from a live conference, but virtual, except no food. So go to that 401ksite.com to sign up, $33.33 to sign up. And of course, if you want to bump up and you want to get autographs from Walt Frazier and Dwight Gooden, we can make that happen as well. So please go to that 401ksite.com for further information and sign up today. And of course, that brings us to today's episode. What plan sponsors really, need to know about the whole Cycle 3 restatement process. The running joke, the best professor I ever had at law school was a guy by the name of Bernie Kaur. Bernie Kaur has retired a couple years ago from American University of Washington College of Law, but Bernie Kaur was my favorite professor, even though I got a B minus or C plus in civil procedure my first year and was, destroyed for about a good 2-3 weeks until I got my A in contracts. But I took Bernie Kaur for a bunch of courses, bankruptcy and advanced bankruptcy course. And Bernie, I call him Bernie, Professor Kaur was fantastic because the reason I love Professor Kaur was he was honest. He was transparent. And I always like that from people. I hate when people try to pretend. You'd have like the criminal law professor who was a big Melrose Place fan because the whole final exam was Melrose Place. He would say, grades don't matter, it really doesn't matter. And of course, when it came time to selecting his Dean's Fellow interns, he would only hire students with the highest grades. So the guy was a hypocrite. Bernie Kaur was nothing like that. Bernie Kaur was very, very transparent. And when, dealing with civil procedure, he's like, some of you guys are going to get A's and some of you guys are going to get C pluses and then you're going to get C's or whatever. And he was very, very honest. And, I thought it was fantastic. So I took him for bankruptcy and advanced bankruptcy course. And Bernie Kaur said one thing about bankruptcy. He says, one of the reasons that they keep on amending the bankruptcy code is to give bankruptcy lawyers business. So any single time ever since then, there's a restatement process. There's a mandatory amendment. I will go out and say, the reason we have a restatement process is because we have to give ERISA attorneys some business. That really isn't the case. The reason that we do these restatements is because the Internal Revenue Service says that we have to. Every so on, the Internal Revenue Code tells us, there'll be times when the code is going to ask you to restate the plan, and you're going to have to do that. So, the whole purpose of a plan restatement is not to keep ERISA attorneys like me in business. Obviously, when a retirement plan is a qualified plan that allows for the tax deferment of employee and employer contributions, you have to abide by the Internal Revenue Code. And of course, like I said, one of those rules means that you have to restate your retirement plan. And the plan restatement is a complete rewriting of the plan document. And the IRS, specifies a time where you have to restate your plans to comply with current law or with laws that were passed in the interim since you last restated the plan. The plan restatement has all the amendments, all the changes adopted by the plan since the last restatement. The last restatement we had was the PPP restatement. It's always funny, the Pension Protection Act of 2006, which we didn't have to fully restate, the deadline for that was April 30th, 2016. I remember where I was on April 30th, 2016. I was in Las Vegas. There was, that day, the day after, there was a conference for, I was speaking at the Cosmopolitan. There was a pension administrators conference, and I took the whole family out because decided that that was a perfect time to fix my house, put in new flooring and whatnot. So we were in Las Vegas, and I remember getting a frantic call from somebody on April 29th, and I was outside of the Shake Shack at New York, New York. But I didn't get the business for that. But I do remember where I was on April 30th, 2016. So we have this requirement. Not all plans have to restate at this time. The restatement plans are for plan documents that are using a pre-approved plan, which could be a prototype or volume submitter. It is for defined contribution plans. It's not for defined benefit plans or 403B plans or individually designed plans. Of course, they have their own cycles. So we have the six-year cycle that these individually designed plan, I'm sorry, that these pre-approved plans have to go through. And it's interesting that this, I've been in the business for 22 years, and every statement process that I've had has been culled after a certain law change. When I started, it was the EDTRA. EDTRA was started in 97, and I want to say we didn't fully restate plans until 2003 or 2004. They kept on delaying it, and then after that, the IRS created that six-year cycle, which they've been pretty good about. We had the cycle end for PPA. I'm sorry. I want to go back. The GUST restatement is what I had to do in 2004. I'm sorry. EDTRA was the law change that was in 2001. So yeah, the taxpayer, let's go back. The Taxpayer Relief Act of 1997, that had to be restated, I think, by 2003 or 2004. 2010 was the EDTRA restatement, which was a law that was signed in 2001 by George W. Bush. And then after that was the Pension Protection Act of 2006. That was the restatement process that we finally completed in 2016. And now we have the Cycle 3 process, so named after the third cycle of this six-year cycle. So PPA, I'm sorry, Taxpayer Reform Act, Taxpayer Relief Act, was not on that three-year cycle. EDTRA, PPA, and now Cycle 3 are part of that three-year cycle. Sorry, getting those acronyms interchangeable and screwing up on the acronyms. But the fact is that I've been going through so many restatements. It's interesting that, you know, again, we haven't had such a significant change to retirement plans since PPA that we have a, you know, we can call it that. So what's interesting about Cycle 3 is that we have quite a few law changes that are not going to be covered by it. We just had two big changes within the past year. The SECURE Act, which brought in pooled employer plans and changes on RMDs and other substantive changes, and of course the CARES Act, which allowed for COVID distributions and whatnot. The funny thing about that is that it won't be in the Cycle 3 restatement. Cycle 3 restatement has been through a process when a pre-approved plan provider puts in a plan document. It's kind of like a two-year process, I think, in getting it approved by the IRS so that, you know, people like me can use their plan document. So the Cycle 3 restatement only incorporates changes in the plan, in the retirement plan law, up until February 1, 2017. So here we are having a process where we have to get these plan documents in. It's 2021 almost. We're talking about changes that happened 4 years ago. And so therefore, we're going to have those changes and not the SECURE Act and the CARES Act. Some of the changes in the Cycle 3 document are going to include changing the definition of spouse to include the same gender. Allowing plan forfeitures to offset company contributions, including safe harbor. Allowing in-plan rollovers, as well as the ability to amend safe harbor plans mid-year. So like I said, if these changes are before 2017, you're not going to have, you're not going to deal with Secure Act or the CARES Act. Just keep in mind that the CARES Act would still require plan sponsors to amend their plan with a snap-on separate amendment before the end of 2022. So it'll be interesting. A lot of these restatements that are going to be done in 2021, 2022, they will have a snap-on CARES Act amendment attached to it. As far as restatements, when I worked for a TPA and you had 700 clients to deal with, a big part of the problem was sending out retainer letters to 700 clients and dealing with the inevitable call, because I work for TPAs that ask for $750 down. In my practice, I don't ask for anything down. I bill, I collect. Very rarely do I have to, you know, get the bill collectors upon a client. I've been very, very good like that. The only time I've ever really had a problem is I had a TPA client in Atlanta that screwed me on $40,000 of plan documents and then kept on switching his initials and acronyms to try to pretend that he was, you know, a different company doing business. He'll be the next Jeff Ritchie. So anyway, you get the call from a client and they will say, do we really need to have to restate it? They don't want to spend the $2,000, the $2,500 to restate the plan document. They get upset. You get the threats of, I'm going to terminate my plan, that sort of stuff. And, of course, my favorite always is, it's just the fill-in-the-blank type thing. You know, it's just a mail merge document, which is kind of annoying. I'll never forget one time I had a call. I was working for the TPA, and it was a lumber company. And I don't know if it was one of these snap-on amendments or restatements, but he's calling to complain. Oh, it's just a mail merge. You're not, it's just a couple $100 to do this work, not $2,000. So then I started asking him about his pricing that he gets from lumber, you know, from the lumber yards. How much is, you know, these pieces of wood? And he didn't appreciate me asking about his business. But it's always funny that, you know, risk attorneys working for TPAs, you always get that kind of question. Oh, we really don't need it. It's just funny that when you're a risk attorney for a TPA, you get that kind of nonsense of, you know, I really don't want to restate my plan document. Why do I have to pay the $2,000? Is it a risk attorney on my own? I never get that question. Probably because I don't do as much plan document work anymore because, you know, again, most clients that I have, they call me when they have trouble and they have the TPAs restate the plan documents. But it's always funny to get that call. And the fact is that plan sponsors really have no choice. Even if they decide to restate the plan, they're going to have to amend the plan to come up to current law. IRS is always one step ahead of you when it comes to that. If you want to terminate your plan now, you'll still have to amend your plan to bring it up to current law. With the restatement process now open, it's a question of whether you have to go through a full restatement or whether you can do a tack-on amendment that you normally would do for a plan termination. But, you know, and a good part of, you know, the good part of those letters, and again, I don't think they were really a good part of it, was so you'd get the clients who didn't want to pay the fee and you're fighting with them. And then you get the guys who just, you know, business people who just want to haggle. So if you say 2,500, they want to get you down to 15. And so you got to push it to two. Working for a TPA, you know, you'll make deals somewhat, as much as you can, because, you know, plan documents is still an ancillary part of a TPA's business. You know, when you're a risk attorney out on your own, you're paying your own rent and you're paying your own mortgage and all that kind of stuff, you're hesitant to cut back pricing because you don't have any other line of work. But it's interesting. And again, all plan sponsors have to restate. You really don't have it. You know, plan sponsors don't have a choice. If you fall into the restatement cycle, you got to restate. If you miss the deadline to restate the qualified plan, the IRS can disqualify the plan, which takes away all the tax benefits of qualified plan. That means contributions might not be deductible, or employees will have them immediately included in income. You know, of course, the plan disqualification is always a threat in actuality. You know, I'll be honest, plan sponsors aren't going to get their plan disqualified because they missed the restatement process. They'll get penalized because they didn't go through the VCP process to fix it. But, you know, the plan sponsor is not going to get the plan disqualified because, you know, IRS is not going to want all these plan participants to include all their retirement income as current income. All their retirement assets as current income. They're not going to do that. The reality is that IRS is not going to want to punish the employees for the malfeasance of a plan sponsor. They're going to disqualify a plan for, you know, theft or blowing out the 415 rules to benefit, you know, highly compensated employees. You know, plan disqualification, as I've always said, is always a threat. For most plan sponsors, it's not a realistic threat. But, you know, it is a punishment that certainly does happen. It's not like the death penalty in NCAA, which really has not been used since the SMU football team got the death penalty in 1986 or 85 or whatnot. So, plan sponsors, they can haggle, they can complain, they can have a bellyache, but in the end, they're going to have to restate the plan document. No ifs, ands, or buts. The restatement deadline, we just got approval on the plan documents not too long ago. Well, at least my document system was updated. Right now, the final deadline of July 31st, 2022. There could always be an extension because of what was going on with COVID. There might not be. We'll see. And the beauty of the restatement process is if you're already spending money to restate your plan document, it may make sense for you as a plan sponsor, if I'm talking to a plan sponsor, to use this as an opportunity to review plan provisions and see if there are any changes that are needed to be made to the other plan provisions. So, you know, if you're restating the plan, you want to change eligibility, why don't you change it now rather than, you know, getting charged again for a restatement? You know, there may be other plan provisions that you want to change. Maybe you want to make vesting better. Maybe the demographics in your business has changed and you need to change the allocations the way you are doing profit sharing contributions. Whatever it is, you know, maybe you have some extra shekels that you could use for a new comparability or a safe harbor plan design. Whatever is your reason for change, you know, you might as well do it when your plan is getting restated. So if you're a plan provider, use the restatement process as a time to review your plan sponsor's plan document and see if there are any changes that should be made while you're already going through the whole process of restating the plan document. It's really, you know, an important aspect. You're killing two birds with one stone. Use this as an opportunity to see what's working in the plan and what is not. So I think that is an extremely important thing to do. And last but not least, if you're a plan provider or plan sponsor and you need a document, feel free to call me. I still restate plan documents at a flat fee. And I've already started the process with a TPA client and their plan documents as well. So feel free to give me a call. That concludes the topic. But again, go out to that401ksite.com for further information on that 401k National Virtual Conference and your opportunity to be part of a very unique and very fun 401k event with a whole host of great presentations, special guests, Dwight Gooden, Walt Frazier, Retireholics, Congressman Jamie Raskin, and Ron Nearing, and a whole bunch of other great plan sponsors and plan providers. Thank you so much, and hope you will be back next week. Thank you. Bye.